Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. And we're reading through the Bible, and we're on Amos now. And we'll be doing an outline on the different things that I mentioned in Amos, and some of the things that I haven't mentioned yet, so that you can get a general outline of what is happening throughout the entire book. And then after that, we'll be going through chapter 1. I believe this is tape number 2, and it'll be tape number 2, chapter 1, with the outline. But right now, let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to bless this service, this tape. Father, bless the tape. Open hearts, minds, the spiritual minds, and the spirit of people to receive the things that you have wanted everyone to know. And congrats to all those, Lord, that are just saying that you are love, because in this chapter you promised to slaughter people, and you have slaughtered them before, and for disobedience and for of all sorts of sins, and you just won't take it any longer, because people have their sins have gone up to heaven, and so now you're going to punish them. And you're not going to forget their sins. So, Lord, we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
Amos outline. Number 1, introduction.
Okay, there's an introduction at the beginning of chapter 1. Then what else?
That's 1, verse 1 through 2. 2, judgment on the nations.
And the Lord doesn't just judge Judah and Israel, but He judges all the nations, which shows that He's a sovereign God over all flesh. And it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, if you sin, He's going to punish you. And there's no, it's inevitable, there's no way to get out of it. Then what else?
That's chapter 1, 3 through 2, 16.
Yeah, and the chapter that I'm working on right now, which is chapter 2, just talks of one time that they keep sinning again and again. And He says, and I will not forget it. I will not forget the sins that you committed. And here's what I'm going to do for punishment. And then He tells them what He's going to do. He says, I'm going to send fire down, and I'm going to butcher you people, because they're a blight in the world. And He does that. He destroys nations, entire nations. And if you say, well, I don't like a God like that, that's, it doesn't make any difference whether you like it or not. That's the God that we have, okay? And you don't like it, that's all the more reason why you're going to be on the bad end of the stick, okay? It's not a matter of whether you like Him or not, because He's not running for election. He's already voted Himself in, and there isn't anything that you can do about it. He's always going to be in office, and you're going to have to stand before Him whether you like it or not, because He's going to bring you right up before His face. And so it's you better learn the Word and learn to love Him. If you love the Lord, then He'll love back. But if you don't love Him, He's not going to love you back. You hate Him, He's going to show you that it doesn't pay to hate God. All right? Whether you like it or not, you're going to pay very dearly. You're going to curse yourself for having such a ridiculously stupid brain. Then what?
A. Damascus 1, 3 through 5.
Okay, read it. This is what it says, Damascus. That means the punishment that He's going to destroy Damascus with. Okay? Read it.
Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof.
I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to turn away the punishment. I'm going to remember to punish you. Then what?
Because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron.
But right, because you've, in here he's talking about Gilead, what he's done to the king of Gilead. Okay, then what else?
But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Aven, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden.
That's the king. He's going to destroy him. That means he's going to cut him off. That means he's going to slaughter him. Okay, then next.
And the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord.
So he's going to send them into captivity. That means they're going to mess them over. When they're in captivity, they're going to be like slaves, and they're going to sell them, and they're going to do with them whatever they want to, because they're just merchandise on the slave market. Okay? And that's what's happening in this world today to people that don't know the Lord. The Lord sends you right into the hands of the wicked. He sends them right to you. He has an army of wicked people that will come and destroy you, just like he had the hornets to destroy the giants and chase them out of the land, and just as he does the locust to destroy the people in the land of Judah. Okay, then what else?
B. Gaza 1:6-8.
Okay, read it.
Thus saith the Lord.
And this is the judgment on Gaza. Then what else?
Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof.
He says, it says, just says the same thing over and over again. He says, you've sinned time after time after time. I've warned you, and now I'm tired of warning you. Now, he says, you've sinned, and I'm not going to forget your sin, and here is your punishment. He just keeps saying that over and over again. Well, we won't do that. Just go through it now, because that's going to be in chapter 2. But go ahead, just read this one here.
Okay. For three transgressions of Gaza, and for four,
over
I will...
Over and over and over again. Three transgressions. All right, then what else?
I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon, and I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God.
Okay, so the remnant, okay, will perish. Now just read the scripture and verses.
Okay.
And I hope everybody's taking notes, because that way you could always refer to them. All right, then what else?
See, Tyre. One.
Now here's the judgment on Tyre. Then what? T-Y-R-E, okay?
Yes, that's 1, 9, and 10.
Okay, keep going.
D, Edom, 1:11-12.
A judgment on Edom. Then what else?
E, Ammon, 1:13-15.
A judgment on Ammon. He says the same thing about every one of them, but each one of them have done different kind of sins, and the Lord tells them it. Then what else?
F, Moab, 2:1-3. G, Judah, 2:4-5.
Now that's his own people, Judah, and then the next would be Israel. Right?
Right.
Okay, keep going.
H, Israel, 2:6-16.
So he's got all these heathen nations plus Judah and Israel he's getting. He's no respecter of persons. His own chosen people he destroyed. He slaughtered. Then what else?
Number 3, occasions against Israel. 3, verse 1 through 6, verse 14. A, judgment on God's chosen people.
Okay, this is the Jews. All right, he's going to judge them. And he's going to judge all the people today that are that call themselves Christians that are really not. Because they are Christians, but then they sin. And they never take hold. They just keep letting the devil get into them, and they kept doing things, thinking that God is just a good God, and he's just not going to do anything. He says, keep sinning. He says, I'm not going to forget it. Okay, then what else?
1, punishment announced. 3,
He's announcing his punishments. Then what?
That was chapter 3, 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. 2, punishment deserved. 3:3-10. 3, punishment described. 3:11-15.
Yeah, he describes the kind of punishment he's going to give them and why he's given it to them. And he announces all these things, and then he does it. You say, well, I don't like God. Well, the feelings are mutual, but there isn't anything you can do about God except accept him if you don't want to be destroyed. Well, you don't know whether you like that kind of a God. You know, frankly, Scarlet, he doesn't give a care, okay? He doesn't care, Scarlet, all right? He's sitting in the driver's seat. Your hatred will not hurt him, all right? You cannot fight God and win. He's never lost a battle, and he never will. Okay, then what?
B, judgment on God's unresponsive people.
Don't respond to his word. They don't respond favorably to his word. They just listen to it, and then they just keep doing the same thing. They're non-responsive people. They're dead. Then what? You know, a dead person, you can preach to them while they're laying in their coffin, and they don't respond. And some people are not laying in coffins. They're walking around, but they still don't respond, so they're dead. Dead to his voice. Then what?
That's chapter 4, 1 through 13. 1. The oppressive woman of Samaria. 4, 1 through 3. 2. Sacrificial transgression. 4, 4 and 5. 3. Failure of Israel to respond to calamities.
Four. In other words, that's the same thing with Christians. You can say, oh, there's a brother that just got hit by a car, and Christians just look and say, oh, that's terrible. And they don't respond to calamity. Or there's a bunch of people attacking a bunch of brothers over in Israel or someplace else in the world. And everybody says, oh, that's horrible. But responding to calamities is to call to the Lord and pray that God will do something about it, okay? And if you're a non-responsive person, then God, he slaughters them for being non-responsive. So you're not going to get by with your non-responsiveness, because he's going to kill you if you don't respond, because he figures if you don't have any mercy on people, and if you don't believe that he responds when you call on him, well, then you're not a Christian, because you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you doubt that he will respond, then you're not a Christian. You are, and you're damned on top of it, because he that believeth not shall be damned. So you have to respond, whether you like it or not. If you don't respond, you're going to be slaughtered and sent to hell. And these chapters here tell about that. So it's an unresponsive people of God. You're just as dead as the person in the coffin. The Lord says, pray for those. Pray for others, amen?
Amen.
Be instant in prayer. When you hear of a calamity, pray about it. You know, tell God, please, Lord, make a way where there doesn't seem to be any. But if you don't do that, well, then you're an unresponsive person of God. And they're in more trouble than a person that's just an out-and-out sinner. Because you know to do good and you don't do it, and therefore you're worse. You go to a hotter place in hell and the lake of fire than a person that never heard the gospel. Then what?
That's chapter 4, verse 6 through 11. 4. Punishment on hardened people.
Yeah, you hear this gospel and you're just hardened. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't soften you like it's supposed to do. That you just don't do anything about it. You're like Pharaoh. He says, let my people go. And he doesn't respond. He just says, no. No, God. And you hear of calamity and you just say, I don't care. What is that to me? Well, you're supposed to prefer others before yourself. And you're supposed to believe that you're supposed to actually put yourself in the place of others that are suffering so that you will pray for them. If you don't, you will never pray for people. Okay, then what? Now what's the verse on that?
That's chapter 4, 12, and 13.
Okay, what was that again?
Punishment on hardened people.
Okay, then the chapter and verse?
4, 12, and 13.
And that's Amos 4, 12, and 13. Let me hear that.
Okay. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name.
Right, and then what?
C. Judgment on God's unrepentant people. 5:1 through 6:14.
Right, they never change, the unrepentant. They're just still the same old people. Same old. Every day of their life, they never get strong. As a matter of fact, they get weaker and weaker and more bitter and more bitter. Then what?
1. A funeral dirge for Israel. 5:1 through 3. 2. A call to repentance. 5:4 through 9. 3. Enumeration of evil acts. 5:10 through 13. 4. A second call to repentance. 5:14 through 15. Five, judgment will bring wailing and mourning. 5:16 through 17. 6. The day of the Lord. 5:18 through 20. 7. Need for justice instead of festivals. 5:21 through 27. 8. Woe to those who are complacent. 6:1 through 7. 9. Judgment on unrepentant people. 6:8 through 14. Number 4. Visions of judgment. 7:1 through 9:10. A. Related visions. 7:1 through 6. 1. Locust swarms. 7:1 through 3. 2. Consuming fire. 7:4 through 6. B. Unrelated visions. 7:7 through 9:10. 1. The plumb line. 7:7 through 17. A. The vision. 7:7 through 9. B. Opposition of Amaziah. 7:10 through 17. 2. The basket of summer fruit. 8:1 through 14. A. The vision. 8:1 through 3. B. The exposition. 8:4 through 14. 3. The Lord beside the altar. 9:1 through 10. A. The vision. 9:1 through 4. B. The exposition. 9:5 through 10. 5. Restoration of Israel. 9:11 through 15. A. Tabernacle of David raised up. 9:11 and 12. B. The land and people restored and blessed. 9:13 through 15. Amos's message of the coming doom of the northern kingdom of Israel seems ridiculous to the people and was not received.
Right, it was ridiculous to them that there was going to be doom coming to them and poverty and everything because they were so rich. They had everything. And it's hard for people to believe when they've got a full stomach. That's usually the case of bums. They get a full stomach, get the wrinkles out of their belly, and pick up a cigar stub off the street and light it up, and they're just great philosophers, and they know everything. They know everything, know nothing type people. And here they just thought it was preposterous that God was going to destroy them. Because they took it that, you know, when you have great wealth, that's a blessing of God, and God really loves you. But that is no sign that God loves you, is that you got a lot of wealth. Now, God does bless some people for the work that they do, but he certainly is also doing it for a test to see if you'll be able to continue serving him while you're being blessed. But some people, you know, you can walk around, you see them giggling and laughing and joking and jiving. before they were blessed, and the same thing while they are, so they never change. And God is going to remove them. Okay, then go ahead.
Amos chapter 1.
Okay, here we go. Chapter 1, verse 1.
King James Version. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake.
Among the herdsmen, that means that he was one of the sheepherders, just one of the many sheepherders, among the herdsmen, okay? One among many, or the shepherds, or the sheepherders, whatever you want to call them. All right, then what? Go ahead.
Commentary verse 1. This message was given to Amos, a shepherd from the town of Tekoa in Judah.
Yeah, a sheepherder. Okay, then what else?
He received this message in visions 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam, the son of Joash, was king of Israel.
Okay, King James Version.
Verse 2. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither.
Yeah, so the Lord is also like he's the lion from the tribe of Judah. Amen?
Amen.
But then you have another lion that is like the devil, who just seeks who he can devour, but the Lord, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, warns people and saves people. All right? You have to know what lion that's dealing with you. Amen?
Amen.
Both are after you. One to save your soul and the other one to destroy you. Then what else?
Commentary verse 2. This is his report of what he saw and heard. Quote, the Lord's voice roars from his temple on Mount Zion. He thunders from Jerusalem. Suddenly, the lush pastures of the shepherd dry up. All the grass on Mount Carmel withers and dies.
Right, so he roars from his servants. Read that again.
Okay. The Lord's voice roars from his temple on Mount Zion.
Who's the temple? Amen? Yeah. And Mount Zion is the New Jerusalem, so he talks out of his people. All right?
Yes.
The Lord left us here to do the talking, but he wants to do the talking in us. And he said, if we ever go to court, don't even think about what you're going to say, because the Father will be talking right through us. Amen?
Amen.
And I've had that happen to me before, where I was in court, and I didn't think of what to say, and the Lord came out with the very right thing. Praise the Lord. It was really good.
Amen.
And things that I couldn't remember. I don't know if I've ever said this on tape, but I was in a courtroom on false charges of being a tax, not paying taxes. And actually, we paid more taxes than anybody, but that I know of, anyway. And they were talking to me about the process, Church of the Final Judgment. They said, Tony, in one of your tracts, Pastor Alamo, you stated that the federal government and all the different federal divisions of government throughout the world belong to the process, Church of the Final Judgment. And I said, yes. He says, well, tell me, Mr. Alamo, do we have a church here in Memphis? I said, yes, sir, you do. And the Lord told me, just take it easy. Just lay back and say, yes, sir, we do. And he says, well, could you mind telling us what the address of that process, Church of the Final Judgment, that we all belong to is? And I says, yes, sir. He says, well, then where is it? And he says, you're standing in it. And he says, the federal building? I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's where it is. All right, you're right in the process, Church of the Final Judgment. Now, the process, Church of the Final Judgment, the Son of Sam belongs to it, and the Mansons and all these killers and everything. And I've always stated that these government people are the worst murdering mafia people on the face of the earth. They're the mafia, and they're the biggest murderers on the face of this earth. They do the bidding of their master, the devil, who lives strongly in his servant, the Pope. And so those people should be in prison. And they should let a lot of innocent people out of prison. Amen?
Amen.
Because they were just, I told them, you people know what you're doing. You're going to send me to prison, and you're just doing it on a pack of lies. And I reiterated, I gave a thesis on every single person that was testifying falsely against me. I said, you let one of these people go, and I mentioned his name, out of the prison in Alaska, and you let him free if he will just lie about me. And Brigida Gyllenhammer, you stated that if she didn't lie about me in court, that you would send her back to Sweden. And because she's really not a citizen, you'd excommunicate her and you'd take her house away from her, which was a $3 million house that belonged to Les Brown, the band leader, the band of renown. And she has a beautiful view over the ocean and everything, and she didn't want to lose that. And she didn't want to lose her two dress shops, one in Beverly Hills and one just off Rodeo Drive, one on the Sunset Strip and one just off Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. And one right after the other. They threatened them and told them they were going to send them out of the country if they didn't lie about me. And I've had news people from television stations say that the federal government has told them, if they mention anything about me on television or radio, and they used to do it every day just for like years, but I was making them look like a bunch of monkeys. Even the police over at the jails where they had me incarcerated said, you make the U.S. government look like such fools. She said, you make them look like such fools. And I said, who? She says, the whole government. They were talking to me on a loudspeaker in the cell, because in the cells up in Fayetteville, they have television cameras in each cell. They can watch everything you're doing in there, and they can press a button and speak to you. And if they want you to come to their office, what they do is they pop the button, and the door opens up, and there's nobody there. You just go through the door. Then they say, okay, take a left, Pastor Lama, and then you take a left, and there's monitors going all the way down the hallway to watch you. But when I went into my room after the court, she said, I saw your smiling face on television today. And I said, oh, you did you? And she says, yeah, you make them sound like such fools. And I said, who? She said, the whole United States world government, the whole world government. You make them look like idiots. And so this black woman that was a news reporter over at one of the TV stations told me that they told them they'd never say anything good about me, or they don't want to say anything, don't even say bad stuff, act as though he's absolutely not here on earth, because I've been on interviews with cardinals, with rabbis, a whole staff of them, one after the other, and we have tapes of those interviews that I've done, and newspaper articles, and when I went on live, and they just sputter, because they don't know the Bible, and I believe that I do. And I made them look silly. And just like the woman said, that's why they don't want to be made like look like fools. So they've banned me from television and radio. And sometimes they call up and want to do an interview with me. And I tell them only if it's live, because when they do a non-live program, they just cut it to pieces, and you really don't get to say what you said. They just cut out all the parts that you say. So it's stupid. It's a setup. This whole government is a setup. Okay, so let's go on.
Commentary, verse 2. He thunders from Jerusalem. Suddenly the lush pastures of the shepherd dry up. All the grass on Mount Carmel withers and dies. End quote. God's judgments on Israel's neighbors.
Okay, now here's the neighbors, different other nations. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. Commentary, verse 3. This is what the Lord says, exclamation mark. Quote, the people of Damascus have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. End quote. They beat down my people in Gilead as grain is threshed with threshing sledges of iron.
In other words, they ground him to powder, his God's holy people. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 4. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. Commentary, verse 4. So I will send down fire on King Hazael's palace, and the fortresses of King Ben-Hadad will be destroyed.
So God destroys, amen?
Amen.
Why? Because he doesn't like unjust people. He doesn't like people that have no mercy on anyone. He doesn't like people that don't care about other people's souls and doesn't care about other people's welfare. He hates people that are hateful. And he said he's going to destroy them. And he did. You can read the history book and you'll see that he destroyed the ones that he said he would destroy. And this was written before he destroyed them. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 5. I will break also the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avan, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Commentary, verse 5. I will break down the gates of Damascus, and slaughter its people all the way to the...
Wait a minute, God's going to slaughter the people? That's what it says, amen?
Amen.
That's the original Hebrew. I'm going to slaughter them. You know what a slaughterhouse looks like? I've been to them before. There's just blood everywhere. Slaughtering a person, he's just going to butcher them. Because they think that they're somebody that they're not. And because of the sinfulness, they think they can get by with it. And the Lord says, I'm going to remember it. I'm not going to forget it. Now here's what I'm going to do to them. I'm going to slaughter them. Amen?
Amen.
Now this is the Almighty God, but why do these people say that God never hates anybody and that he's just all love? Now we're reading from the B-I-B-L-E. Okay? This is the God's Word. Okay? So if you want to believe something else, then you're insane. This is the real Word of God. Okay, go ahead now.
Commentary, verse 5. I will break down the gates of Damascus and slaughter its people all the way to the valley of Aven. Bracket, Aven means wickedness.
Yeah, to the valley of Aven, the valley of wickedness. Okay, the Hebrew, Aven, means wickedness. It's nice to know what you're reading, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? It takes time to look this stuff up. Okay? Then what?
Commentary, verse 5, continued. I will destroy the ruler in Beth Eden, and the people of Aram will return to Kir as slaves. I, the Lord, have spoken! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. Commentary, verse 6. This is what the Lord says, quote, the people of Gaza have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer! Exclamation mark.
He just keeps saying the same thing to each one of them. I will not let them go on sinning any longer. Now I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to slaughter them. I'm going to burn them. Then what?
They sent my people into exile, selling them as slaves in Edom. King James Version, verse 7. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Commentary, verse 7. So I will send down fire on the walls of Gaza, and all its fortresses will be destroyed.
A fortress is anything that protects them shall be destroyed. Because I, God, nothing can stop me from destroying something if I want to destroy it. You don't have any defenses. What, are you going to have 10 million men out there to defend you? I'll kill all them at once, he says. I'll slaughter, I'll destroy all your defenses. you're going to have cannons or bows and arrows. I'll break them all to pieces and then, you know, put them in your ear. Okay? That's what God says. All right? Then what?
King James Version, verse 8. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Commentary, verse 8. I will slaughter the people of Ashdod, and destroy the king of Ashkelon.
Yeah, the scepter. I'm gonna slaughter him, he says. Over and over again, the Lord says, I'm going to slaughter this bunch of people. And he'll slaughter you, too, if you don't get right with the Lord. Well, you say, I don't care what happens to me. Yeah, but it would be just something if you got slaughtered. But when you go to hell and you spend eternity screaming your head off down there because there's so much flame on you and you're more sensitive there than ever before. Because in this world, you can't get rid of the pain. Over here, you can knock yourself out or take some kind of sedative or take a knockout pill or a sleeping pill and get rid of the pain for a while. But there's no painkillers in hell. And it's so excruciating. It's the worst pain that you could ever even imagine. It says people chew on their tongues for pain. And they gnash on their teeth. And you think, well, that couldn't happen. Well, you're the same type of a person that Eve, you believe the same lie that was told by the devil to Eve. Says people should, he told her that she'd never die. Thou shalt not die. God's not going to kill his people. Would you kill your child? No, but you're not God. God kills people. He slaughters them. Doesn't he?
Yes.
Isn't that something, how we're reading scriptures that no minister preaches? Amen?
Amen.
Did you ever hear any preacher say that God said he's going to slaughter people?
No.
Why? Because they want you to send them money. Okay? And you won't send money to somebody that says that God's going to slaughter you, right?
Right.
Well, I don't care what you send me money or not. Here's it says it in the Bible, and I'm going to read it to you. Amen?
Amen.
This is the real Bible. Now, you better believe the real God, you know, because there is no other God that exists. Okay? Isn't that just awful, some of you think? Well, if you think that, well, then you're in big trouble with the Lord already. But I don't like a God. What are you going to do about him, huh? Put your dukes up. Come on, God, let's get it going. Come on, let's fight. You have sport with you, little monkey. Okay, what else?
Commentary, verse 8. I will slaughter the people of Ashdod and destroy the king of Ashkelon.
This is the third time in one chapter he's talking about slaughtering them. Amen?
Amen.
What? Okay, what else?
Then I will turn to attack Ekron. And
do you want God on the attack against you?
No.
See, if the devil's on attack to us, it's no big problem because all we got to do is call on the Lord. We have to respond. And you respond to the Lord because the Lord doesn't like unresponsive people. If the devil's on you, if you've got some kind of pain or ache that you can't seem to get rid of, and you just sit there, well, then you're non-responsive. When you feel the pain or aches, then you just call on God. But if you don't, God's just going to let it keep aching. All right? And then pretty soon you don't believe God so much that you don't even care if you are evil to people. And then when you are, then he's going to slaughter you. Why? Because thus saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Because he said so. And he's not a liar like you are. Or like people are. All right? We all might be liars. It says, let every man be called a liar, but let God be called the truth. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? It's good to hear this real, true character trait of the Almighty God, right?
Right.
Man, he threatens people. And I hear these preachers say, God never threatens anybody. Well, what do you call this? Huh? Huh? What do you call this? I will slaughter you. I knew that the minute that he first introduced himself. He said, get up and tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. and he let me know that there was a heaven and hell, and he knew that let me know that I would go to hell. Is that a threat?
Yes.
Well, then God threatens people. I knew that right off. Now, you got these ministers that supposedly been ministers for 50 years, and they don't know that. They're preaching that, no, God never threatens anybody. And here it is right in the Bible, over and over and over and over throughout the whole Bible. No adultery, no fornicator, no liar, no thief, no effeminate, no homosexual shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But all of them shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. Okay? Fire! Do you think fire is fun?
No.
To be in fire? No. Okay? One guy on the street when I was witnessing says, I don't worry about heat, I love heat. I says, you don't know what heat is, my friend. I said, well, if you like heat so much, let's go over here at Aldo's, this restaurant, and let's put your face right on the grill, okay, like where they put the hamburgers, and see if you like it. Come on. No, he didn't want to do that. Well, the heat in hell and in the lake of fire is a million times hotter than that hamburger grill, okay, and the French fryer. But you can't die there. You just die thousands of deaths, but you really don't. Then what?
Commentary verse 8 continued, then I will turn to attack Ekron, and the few Philistines still left will be killed. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken! Exclamation mark.
So sovereign means he's ahead of everything in the universe. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's over everything. We all have to stand before him. Don't matter whether you like it or not. That's where you're going to be. If you die tonight, you're going to be standing right in front of him. And it's appointed unto man, and mankind, once to die, and after this, the judgment. So the minute you get up to ghost, you're going to stand up there, you're going to be judged, and then put to sleep until judgment day. And then when you know what your fate is, then what?
King James Version, verse 9. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant.
Yeah, the brotherhood. Now, you know, these blacks think that they're the brothers, but brotherhood never really started until the Jews, you know, Christianity. When you say brother or sister, that means brother in Christ or sister in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Brother, what? Just because your skin is black or white or yellow? That's not brother. Because there's a difference between the saved and the lost. If you're an unsaved black, well, you're not a brother with the black person that is saved, are you?
No.
Or if you're a beige person, you know, like a Puerto Rican or a Mexican, you're a little bit beige. They're not all the beige people are your brothers or sisters, are they?
Mm-hmm.
The only brothers and sisters you really have is we all become one in Christ Jesus. So you're not Puerto Rican anymore. You're not really black. You're not Jew or Gentile. You're a spiritual Israelite. And you all are one. Okay? Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 9. This is what the Lord says, quote, the people of Tyre have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer! Exclamation mark. They broke their treaty of brotherhood with Israel, selling whole villages as slaves to Edom. King James Version, verse 10. But I will send a fire on the walls of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Commentary, verse 10. So I will send down fire on the walls of Tyre, and all its fortresses will be destroyed.
Yeah, and all the palaces, that's the fortresses, that's where all the fighting men are. So all of that will be gone. There'll be no defenses whatsoever. Because nobody, I don't care if it's all the people in the world, join hand in hand, they can't fight God and win. He's just too strong for you weasels. Amen?
Amen.
He made you out of the dirt of the ground. That's power right there. I mean, that's incredible power. To make mud balls walk around and breathe and everything, that's power. And that's all we are. It's just little mud patties, you know, walking around with the spirit in us that God blew in there. And to think that, you know, dirt can walk and move their arms and everything without the dirt breaking. Huh? That's incredible, isn't it?
Yes.
So that right there tells you that God is powerful, all-powerful. And then there's all the other things that he created that are made out of mud, too. Like dogs and horses and everything, and they run fast without breaking to pieces while they're running, right?
Mm-hmm.
You try to make a mud patty and make it walk. That's a contrast between you and God, right?
Right.
Try it, okay, you scientists. You've never been able to do it yet. And you never will. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof.
See, these are Gentile nations, yeah? Then what else?
Because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. Commentary, verse 11. This is what the Lord says, quote, the people have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer, exclamation mark.
That's the end. There is no more. 'Tis not so sweet as it was before. Amen?
Amen.
Because it may be sweet today, but when the Lord gets fed up with you, it's over. I'm not going to let him go on any further. Okay? You've had your fun. You've had enough rope, and now you hung yourself with it. Okay, then what?
Commentary continued, verse 11. They chased down their relatives, the Israelites, with swords. They showed them no mercy, and were unrelenting in their anger. King James Version, verse 12. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Commentary, verse 12. So I will send down fire on Teman, and the fortresses of Bozrah will be destroyed. King James Version, verse 13. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof.
See, these are eight different nations. It's just the same thing after the other. And the last two is Judah and Israel. So God is getting all the heathen people. And then he gets his own people. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
King James Version continued, verse 13. Because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. Commentary, verse 13. This is what the Lord says, quote, the people of Ammon have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer, exclamation mark. When they attacked Gilead to the extent their brothers, they committed cruel crimes, ripping open pregnant women with their swords.
And that's pretty cruel, isn't it?
Yes.
So God doesn't feel bad about being cruel to pay him back for it, all right? Because he hates people like that. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 14.
And see, you know that all these soldiers over there that are killing people and killing kids and everything, they are the same way. They just don't, they've never heard scriptures like this that God's going to, you know, slaughter them for doing things like this. They just think, you know, it's fun. And you put a uniform on them and give them a belly club and a badge and a flashlight and a whistle. And all of a sudden they get power drunk. Drunk with power. And so they think they can go rip women up that are pregnant and do things like that. And burn people up and put guns to their heads and blow their brains out. Because they saw it in a movie. But know this. That the Lord is not going to leave you unpunished. You're going to get billions and trillions of times worse than what you dished out. Because you planted evil, and you're going to reap more evil than you ever imagined that there was in the universe. Because you think you know how to be cruel, God really knows how to crank you up. And jack you up. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 14. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof, with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. Commentary, verse 14. So I will send down fire on the walls of Rabbah, and all its fortresses will be destroyed. There will be wild shouts during the battle, swirling like a whirlwind in a mighty storm. King James Version, verse 15. And their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, saith the Lord. Commentary, verse 15. And their king, their god Moloch, and his princes...
See, their king is nothing more than an idol, a god. That's their king, is Moloch, this god of sex and perversions. Then what? Because I studied it and found out. Then what?
And their king, their god Moloch, and his princes will go into exile together. I, the Lord, have spoken! Exclamation mark.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 1 and an outline of the entire book of Amos. And I'll be doing chapter 2, God willing, for you tomorrow. And till then, God bless you. Praise the Lord.